I want to share with you in Psalms 46. It says, God is our refuge and strength. This is your God. If you're born again, I'm talking about your God, okay? And if you're not born again, I'm still talking about the God. He's a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we shall not fear. Even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nation raged, the kingdom were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts, the God of all creation, is with us, guys. Who shall we fear? Hear me, church? Who do we fear?
Nobody.
Man, we should fear no one. As God. God is our strength. He is our salvation. He says in verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolates in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And that's Psalms 46. And you might want to just jot down that verse and maybe read it from time to time. Let it be encouraged. And when the things of this world is allowing to get you down and beating you up and taking away your joy and your peace and you think, is there no hope? There's no help. And man, our God is. Nothing greater than our God. There's no king or president ever be elected or ever be greater than our God. Amen. Amen. Psalms 46. You know, and as we were sharing early today, and Kenny mentioned it, the days are getting troublesome. Our spirits get in trouble. What I mean by that is the things that we see taking place in this world nowadays, you want to shake your head like, I cannot believe it. And we share this many times, but God wants His people to do is be prepared, like Kenny was saying, and trust the Lord. Don't trust yourself. Trust the Lord. Then as you follow the Lord, you can trust on your decisions. Okay? But the Lord who you want to trust, He says He'll provide all your needs. Amen? We just need to trust in Him. You know, and we're going to share our scripture today. I'm going to be in 1 Kings 17 today. We're going to look how God will take care of us as we listen and obey His Word. Before I get there this morning, I'll ask Brother Jim, can you come down here a minute? How you doing, buddy? Doing good? All right. I want you to do me a favor. I wonder if you'd let me give you $10 this morning.
Cool.
Okay. Now you have it's your money. You can do two things with it. You can take it and go sit down. Take it home with you, or you can keep $5 and give $5 to someone in the church here you think might need it. What would you like to do?
Give $5 to somebody in here.
Okay. So just look around and see who God would. See, it's His money. I mean, there's no strings attached. The only thing I asked Him this morning is one thing. Are you able to stand this morning, right? That's all. So that $10 is yours, and we all know in the month we need money. But you choose to keep five of it and give five away. So just let God lead you to someone out there that you think you'd be blessed by it. Let God lead you. Oh, praise God. There you go. She shared her brandy. All right. Oh, Jim, come back down here. Hey, Jim. Here's $10. You have a choice. You can keep the $10 and sit down, or you can keep $5 for yourself and give $5 away. What do you want to do?
Give $5 away.
You sure?
Yep.
Okay, well, let God lead you again. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. And God does that. He'll lead you. Yep. Oh, Jim, come down here, please. Hey, Jim, here's $10. That's your money. You get two things you can do with it. You can keep it and sit down, or you can keep five of it and let God show you who to share it with. What do you like to do?
Give five away.
Okay, let God lead you. Oh, wow. Praise God. Thank you, Jim. Oh, Jim. Jim, here's $10. Wow. Now, you can do whatever you want to with it. You can take the $10 and sit down, or you can keep five of it and give five to someone that God says to give to. What would you like to do?
I want to give 10 this time.
Amen. Okay. You can sit down. Buck? Come here, Buck. There's $10, Buck. Now you can keep $10 and sit down, or you can keep five of it and give five to someone else.
Give five to someone else, I believe.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Buck? There's $10, Buck. Now you can keep the $10 yourself and have a seat, or you can keep five of it and give five to someone else.
I'm going to give five to someone else.
Okay, go ahead. Thanks, Buck. Have a seat. Jim, can I see you a second? And this is awesome. It turned out different than it did Friday night. What were my instructions to you when I gave you the $10?
Give five to somebody, or
keep 10 for yourself, or give five away and keep five yourself. Is that the instructions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you obey my instructions?
Yes.
No. Did you always obey my instructions?
No, not the end.
Why didn't you obey my instructions?
Oh, no. Okay. Got a big heart again.
Big heart, okay. But and I want to instruct this to you. I'm glad you got a big heart. But you have to pay attention. We would have kept going and going and going. Okay? You have $20 in your pocket, okay? Now, you could have sat down with 10, but you obeyed me and you gave five out, and I gave you five out. We could have gone until you hit $1,000. No, not $1,000, okay? but listen up, church. In his own thinking now, well, I'm going to give the whole thing away. That was not the instructions. Okay? Sometimes we think the same way of the Word of God. Okay? We follow it so far, I think, well, I don't need to follow it anymore. And that's where you get boogered up. Okay? See, God, if I was God, that means, now I can trust you with the money, okay? And as you've given out there, I can bless you because you become a blessing for someone else. As people out there I want to bless today, I knew I could give it to Jim and trust him with it, okay? And but then trying to be really nice, which I appreciate that, you gave it to me. And there's no sense giving it back to me when I already gave it to you. I want you to sow it in somebody else's life, okay? You didn't have my money back? Just kidding. No, you do. You do good. Okay, have a seat, please. And I just want to share that today. And it was awesome because we did this Friday night also. It's amazing how God lays upon your heart on how to share. But we have to get in our mind that God will provide our needs if we will follow what He says. Now, you got the point with Jim, man, I'm getting too much money in my hands, you know, I need to do something else with it. Well, you don't know what will happen next, you know what I'm saying? We just got to learn to trust the Lord in what He tells us to do and allow Him to provide for our needs. Yes. Okay. That's what He wants us to do. And you know, look at now, and with Buck, both of you guys, how God is glorified. You can say, hey, I went to church the other day, and I listened, and God blessed me with $20, $10. Other people in here got money today. Man, I gave God the praise because, man, I had nothing. I went to church. Man, now I got $5. He has a way of meeting our needs as long as we follow Him. When we start thinking about doing it ourselves, then we get ourselves in trouble. We get ourselves in a predicament there. But no matter what happens, continue to follow the Lord. Continue to be obedient to Him. We'll find that He will meet our needs. Not just our needs, but even at times go above and beyond. So it goes back to Jim. You were obedient to me, were you not? Seriously, I mean, you're a big heart. When I first gave you the $10, you could have sat down, took the money, maybe took your bride out for dinner today, okay? Then you'd be done. You'd be broke, have no money. But what you did, you gave. And as you gave half of it away, boom, it came back. Oh, wow. So now you'd be able to take your bride out and for dinner. But what did you do? You kept part like you're supposed to, and you gave part away. As you kept doing that, you kept providing for you and your bride. It made no sense in a way. Here I am. I come to church with no money, end of the month, and the preacher man gives me $10. Now I've got a choice to sit down with it or give part of it away. You know, it could be a very tough choice at times. You ever had where $10 was everything you had? Been there, done that, put all my hands up. Okay? Yes. Yes, but look. You know, we can take what God's given us and not be obedient to Him, just grab a hold of it, so I'm going to let go. I need this worse than anybody. But by sharing it, being obedient to the Word, you was able to continue to bless your bride for continuing on and on and on. Let's just say it this way. You might have traded in a steak dinner for hamburger for every meal. You know what I'm saying? And our mindset has to be that way. But let's go to 1 Kings 17. I want to share with you here this morning. You there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're going to listen to me, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Okay. I didn't hear no hallelujah back here. I tell you what. Okay. But in chapter 17, verse 1 says, now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. Now stop right there. Ahab is a king. He's a very, very evil king. Now he is a son of Omer. And I'm going to go clear back through history, but the kings of Israel was evil, and eviler, and more eviler, and more evil, eviler, and more wicked. Thank you. Okay. To where now, it is so bad, that the Word of God came and said, okay, there will be a drought on the land. He said, I'm shutting it down. There will be no water, no dew, no nothing. And Elijah is a man of God. He's a prophet. And so as God told him what to speak to the king, it's the Word of God coming to the king. He said, you are so evil, man. That's it. This whole place is going to dry up. It's going to stop raining. It's not, no more. Your crops is going to fail. The people is going to dry up. Why? Because the king was evil. In fact, he got evil. It just wasn't one evil king. It just kept escalating down, where the kings were so evil. And so what he shows us right there, right away, watch out who's in authority over you. Okay? Because the repercussions will fall upon you. Okay, so because of the evil king, the people in Israel are going to pay a big price because the king was evil. Do you hear me, church? Okay, it's kind of reminding maybe things today over the last 100 years as we study history. It seems like maybe some of the kings or presidents have just kind of deteriorated over the years, right? Amen, church? I'm not playing Democrat, Republican. I'm saying some things that the president had just been kind of watering down, and we quit following what God said to do, and we just got weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. We got more evil, if I can say it, more evil and more evil. To look how we're at today now, okay? Now, if you think these floods are something that it just comes every 100 years, hey, listen, you think these droughts are bad? You think these fires are just something that happens? It's not. Our God does not change. Hear me, church. Our God doesn't change. He's the same. He wouldn't be a just God if He treated people differently in the same circumstances. You know what I'm saying? So we open our eyes up because of the evil in the world. Because of the evil in leadership. This can be brought upon the earth. And He told us that. Kenny said earlier, we talked about earlier, Matthew 24. These are the signs of the coming of the Lord. So what did He have to do? He grafted Elijah to go tell the king, you're so evil, there's going to be no rain in the land. Now, who wants a job like that to go tell the king? I mean, the king is very powerful. He could cut your head off right then, okay? But Elijah, who swore allegiance to God, said, I'll do as you command me, God. Same as us here who swore allegiance to the Lord, who become born again. Say, God, use me. I'm born again. Whatever you want me to share or save. You know, like Kenny said, it was a blessing to share what's going to take place. It's not just a blessing. It's really a commandment. He said, go and tell all nations. Okay, and this is what Elijah did. Wow. And you know what Elijah did then? Well, in verse 2 he says, after he told the king, you know, God took him, put him up in the Hotel Hilton. He brought him a limo in. He gave him 3 butlers to take care of him. All he had a suit and tie, you know. Verse 2 tells us, he says, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. What? He did what God called him to do. And what did he do? Go run, hide! They want to kill you, is what God's telling him. Now, for us, sometimes we think that when we do what God tells us to do, there should be a ticker tape parade, and we should be, hey, look at me, yay, yay. But listen, sometimes the things that you got to do for God, Satan don't like it. You understand that? He hates the truth, Satan does, and he'll come after you. Well, when God isn't done with you yet, he says, okay, I need you to hide over here for a while, because we're not done yet, Elijah. You know what Elijah did? He did what God told him to do. Can you imagine that? How many of us would argue with God? What? I did what you said, God. Man, I had a maid over here. I had a maid around this place. And people knew me. They knew who I am. You know, I got my 401 and my 10-4K, or whatever you guys call them, retirement plans or whatever. I got all that established. I just built my house. I got my 3-car garage. Oh, my. You want me to leave? No. You know what he did? He left. Because he knew that God had his best interest in mind. I mean, just think about it. This king is real evil, okay? He just got told off by God through Elijah. You think he's going to let this dude sit in his house and just kind of party, huh, Buck? No. No. So God, having love for Elijah, says, okay, man, we're going to hide you out for a while. But he did say this. In verse 6, verse 5, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and he lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. So what did he do? He went and did according to the word of the Lord. Okay? So he listened to God, or he just did it. And he went to live east of the Jordan. And kind of like Jimmy there, huh, Jimmy? You went and did what I instructed you to do. You okay? All right, well, I like to have this $10. I'm standing from the church, but okay, I'll go ahead and I'll divide it. Okay, so you listen, Buck, you listen, and you did accordingly. Not really sure what's going to take place, but somewhere along the line, you got to get some trust in your pastor. Okay, to a degree. Okay, well, Elijah got a lot of trust in God. He says in verse 6, and the ravens, God told him, will bring him your bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. So God's sending airmail meals to him, okay? Now, can you imagine having a bird come in? Meals on wings, Carol says, okay? But can you imagine serving the God, and here comes this raven? Okay, and there's your meat twice a day. I mean, who would rejoice on that? We wouldn't, would we? But what would God want to do? God wanted to keep Elijah alive because he wasn't done with Elijah yet. You know that? He wasn't done with him yet. Again, some people today would expect the T-bone steak and baked potatoes to show up because of serving the God. But we have to get things respected. He's God, we aren't. Amen? So get that in mind. Anything. See that breath? He gave it to me. See that breath? He can take it from me. Amen. As long as he's willing for me to breathe, my life is his. He wants to feed me through a raven, he can. Then what would he do? Oh, praise God, he didn't feed him liquid through a raven. He went down to a brook and he drank. Oh, and God was providing for his needs because he was obedient to God. And Elijah already knows that, hey, this place ain't his home. He already knew this earth was only temporary for him to inhabit. Same as you and me today. This place is only temporarily. Okay, don't get so accustomed to it that you don't want to leave it. Amen? Amen? Amen. He says, and it happened after that. After what? After he was drinking water from the brook and the ravens coming in. He probably kicked back, hey, it's not too bad. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Look what took place. Now here comes the wrath of God upon this land. But you see, it also affects the people that follow God. A drought is a drought. Amen? Whether you're the king or whether you're the pauper or whatever it is, it affects us. I mean, today, around the United States, we see droughts and fires. It affects Christians and non-Christians, right? It does. It takes place. It's just one of those things. But what is Elijah doing different? He's listening to God. He's obeying God and he's trusting God. I imagine he went down there to get a drink of water. He probably thought, well, the water's gone. What are you going to do now, God? I don't think he got discouraged. Well, here I go. No, he said, okay, God, how are you going to do it now? Let's see. Moses slapped a rock and water came out of it. I wonder if he walked around and slapped a couple rocks. You know what I'm saying? God never told him to. But he has learned to trust God. And you know, that's what he wants us to do, to learn to trust God in everything that we do in your environment. Don't quit trusting him. Elijah came when he knew of plenty, and now he's kicked back. He's eating meat. He's drinking water. Okay, now the water's dried up. But he didn't go spastic. He didn't say nothing here that, well, Elijah doubted God and yelled at God and was mad at God. Mm-mm. Verse 8 it says, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Hey, he said, gets up. You're heading down the road to this town. There's a widow lady down there going to provide for you. And Elijah said, a widow lady? Well, come on. You can do better than that, can't you? Can't you give me a beauty queen, maybe, from a couple years back? But a widow lady? No, maybe she was. Amen. Come on, preach it. That hound will bark. I'm telling you right now. But what did he do? What did he do? He arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please, get me a little water in a jar that I may drink. So here we are. He's in a place now where there's water. Woo-wee. I mean, he just left the barren land. There was no water. So now God, by listening to God, by following God, he is now in an area where he has water again. Man, that's what he wanted. And God provided for him. Why? Because Elijah was obedient. Now, he could have got mad and sat down, still be in that little dry creek bed, saying, yeah, I had no water. What's God doing to me? Why wouldn't he protect me? Why wouldn't he provide for me? You ever been there, church, where you sit down on your own self and you feel sorry for yourself and you think, well, where are you at, God? Where are you at? And he's telling you all along, hey, it's time to move. It's time to get out of that. It's time to leave that alone. It's there to destroy you. That dry creek bed was there to destroy Elijah. If he was sat down in that creek bed and stayed there, it would have destroyed Elijah. But saying, God, I can't listen to you, God. I'm listening to you. He's like, come on, get out of that dry creek bed. Maybe he's telling somebody here today, get out of that dry creek bed. You've been sitting in the same place for years now. Wonder why God ain't moving in your life. Maybe you said a prayer and invited him into your life, but he hasn't done anything. Why? Because you're still sitting in the same place when he told you to get up and move. And may today be the day you get up and move and actually listen to him. Learn to trust him. Learn to trust him before it's too late. He wants to. He says he'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. But you can leave him. Elijah could have left God right there in that dry creek bed. But he didn't. He got up, and next thing you know, he had water. You ever been mad at God for a while and you sit down and you quit praying, you quit reading the Word? But the minute you turn back to Him, it's like refreshing water coming over you. He says, "Oh, God, forgive me for being stubborn." He'll say, "Well, I know I made you. I know what you're going to go through." But He's always there. He's there to welcome you back and give you that fresh drink of water to soothe your tongue and give you encouragement and give you strength. Yeah. But verse 11 says, "And as she was going to get it," the widow lady, he called her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hands." So now he wants water, but now he wants bread. He wants to eat something. But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread. Only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat and die." She said, "Listen, I got some water, but I can't give you nothing to eat. I have decided today I'm going to make my last little muffin. I'm going to feed my son, and then we're going to lay down and die. This thing is so bad. It's just so bad in the world today. I don't have anything. I'm done. We're going to lay down and die." And maybe we've been there ourselves at the time. I'm about ready to lay down and die. And God's been encouraging and saying, "Come on, come on. Don't matter how bad it is, don't matter how it seems so bad it is, follow me. Follow me. Just do what I say." "Well, how can I do that?" I say, "Jim, just do what I say." "Well, how can I do it, Pastor? How can I give away half this $10? That's all I got in my world." "Trust me, man. Trust me." As he gives it away, what happens? More comes into you. More comes in. Now you know. Now if I give you $10 right now, says Jim, you keep half of it, or and give half away, or keep all of it. You give half of it away because now you know what's going on. You know how it works now, right? And folks, maybe some of us don't quite know how God works, but you're here listening today. Learn how He works. He never changes. He never changes. Now, next week I could change. I come in and give you $10 and do something totally different with it. Okay, I'm not God. But God is God. And His Word never, ever changes. What He says He'll do, Fred, He'll do. You can count on that. You can count on that 100%. As you learn what God does, do it. Trust Him. It can be scary at times, but He calls it faith. It doesn't take faith to do something that you can see, does it? You already can see it. But she said, "I'm going to eat. Me and my boy's going to die." But Elijah said to her, "Do not fear." Woo! "Do not fear," this man of God. God said through this man, "Do not fear. Do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me, and afterward you may make one for yourselves and for your son." But verse 14 says this. He wasn't quite done yet. She wasn't over the stove yet. "For thus says the Lord God of the Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be emptied until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth." He says, "Do this. Give me the first part of it. And your jar will never be emptied. Your oil will be there. The flour will be there. But give it to me first. Give it first, and you'll never go empty again." And we just saw that up here with Jim and with Buck. And as they gave the first part of it away before they put it in their pocket. And here it comes again. And again. And again. And we were the richer church, and we'd still be doing it, okay? But the thing of it is, it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop. And sometimes we get to the point, maybe we get blessed so much, we forget why we're blessed. We're blessed, as they say, to be a blessing. Sometimes we get, I get kicked. Sometimes I talk to people about how the tithe works and offering gives, and they're telling me, "Oh, that's okay, I got plenty of money." Then you give more away. Let God use you, okay? And I don't think you'd ever get tired of me. You love passing the money out, didn't you? You love blessing people in the name of the Lord. Buck, did you not? To God, who want you to bless today? You know, and I truly believe the ones that you blessed today, God led you to them because they had a need today. And it's like a double blessing. We get blessed, but we get blessed by giving away to people in the name of the Lord. And here he is. He just told her, "This is your choice. Your choice." Woo! Now you gotta have. Would it take great faith to do this? But don't answer me yet. Think about this. Lord, may I borrow this? Thank you. That's what she's got left. If this is a muffin, okay? She's going to break this in half. Her and her boy is going to eat it and die. But here comes a fellow along saying, listen, just make me one first. And God tells me to tell you that you'll never go hungry during this time. Now, she could have said, well, I don't care what God says. Right here is all I got. And me and my boy, we're going to have this dinner tonight, and we'll be done with it. But you know what she does? She listens to God. She realized, man, here's this guy come. God sent his word to me. And because of that, all of a sudden, she is promised, look at all these. And she kept multiplying and multiplying and multiplying because she obeyed and trusted in God. And say, that can be the scariest time in your life when you're down to nothing and God says, okay, give this away. Is that you, God? Yes. Well, God, how can I give that away? We need to trust in God. We need to trust Him. So, verse 15, so she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. Well, I went from one little biscuit and a funeral that was coming to eat for many, many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. Woo, never went empty. You know? Now, Elijah might find it pretty tough. Man, how can I tell this widow lady? Okay, feed me first. And then you guys can eat. But God told him to do that, right? Okay. And kind of like my old brother Jim there. He got the point and said, okay, I can't really keep taking this money. I'm going to give it back to Starkey. Okay. Which, again, his heart was there. We're all learning. But then that just stopped everything. Somebody else in this church would have been blessed through the hands of Jim. But we stopped. And that's what God's learning today. God wants to bless you today. And He wants you to bless someone else. But it takes every one of us to listen to the Word of God, surrender the Word of God, and follow the Word of God. And that's what she did. He wasn't afraid to, you know, he told her what to do. And because they both honored God, man, she was dancing around. Man, I bet she had McMuffins like that, and the windowsill was cooling down, you know, all you smell going down the street. I bet she's happy, thanking God, saying, oh, my lands. You ever give God thanks for something done in your life? Woo, thank you, Lord, you brought me through this, man. Just last week, we was going to have a funeral, but no, man, we were eating. It. Oh, man, thank you, God. Hey, Elijah, you want another biscuit, man? Hey, you want this? Just celebrating back and forth, and she just giving God the glory and praise, and thank you, God, not just for myself, she's thinking probably, but thank you, my son. He just saw the move of God upon his life, and just really celebrating. Isn't that right, Kathy Snyder? Party going on. Let's go to verse 17 now. Now it came about after these things. What things? All these blessings and the miracle that God did to feed them. That the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick. And his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. Her son died. In verse 18, so she said to Elijah, she said to this man of God, she said, back to the word of God, what do I have to do with you, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my iniquity to remembrance and to put my son to death. Woo! Right away she turned. She turned on God right away. Blaming all what he had to do with me. Because of my old past sins, she's saying, you brought to my remembrance. And now my son's dead. Well, thanks, God. I mean, just the day before, she's praising God for all that she was doing, and all He did in her life. Thank you, God. But as soon as something bad happens, who gets the blame for it? Huh? God. Why would she blame God for it? Why? I mean, wasn't she the one to let her son die the week before? Have a little bite here and we'll just croak off? Yes. But she gets mad at God. Oh, why you do this? But you know, God's a big God. Amen?
Amen.
We've all them and they all get upset because you know what? She doesn't understand. She didn't have the scripture we have today in John 10:10. So that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's the one that comes to take life from us, not God. He sent Christ to come and give us life and give it more abundantly. We should be able to get that in perspective and understand when we're attacked by Satan, it is not God. God gets the for everything bad. And a lot of times the bad stuff that happens in our life, we invited it, knowingly or unknowingly. You know that? But, God being God, Elijah said to her, "Give me your son." Then he took him from her bosom and carried him up to the upper room where he was living and laid him on his own bed. And he called to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, hast thou also brought calamity to the widow with whom I am staying by causing her son to die?" So he's saying, "God, have you brought this death upon him?" He's speaking that out. He knows that God did not bring the death upon the son. Okay? Because if he knew that was the will of God, that the son to die, he would never petition God to bring life back into the son. Anybody want to go against God? Elijah wouldn't. No. So he's like, "Okay, God, do you bring the death upon the son?" No. He knew it wasn't. And we got to look at ourselves at the time, make sure that we don't think things are dead because God brought it on. When you know the Word of God, we can see the life and speak life back into things. Satan will try to get you to believe, as is in your bulletin today, that sickness, disease comes from the hand of God upon your body. Then listen, folks, God will never put sickness upon His children. Understand that? I asked you today, would you put sickness on your kids, Bonnie? No, you would not. No. So listen up. His children. So get that thought out of your head that when you get sick, say, "Well, God, you gave it to me. I'll just go ahead and hang on to it." Why would He bring sickness on our bodies and turn around and give us laying on hands? Okay? So we got to get a mindset here that sickness isn't from God for His children. Now, where's His children? Those who are born again. Remember that. If you're not born again, you're not a child of God. You're His creation. But John 1:12 says that those who accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord become the child of God. So I know that God will not put sickness on me. What God will do, like He did with the Master, nothing can come on me unless God allows it. Or if I allow it. How do you get an antidote for the flu? By being injected with the flu. And your body gets resistance to it, okay? Look at the Master. You know, when Satan calls him to go, he laid his life down, but when he crucified Jesus, wow, God allowed that to happen. You know why? Because he knew Jesus was going to rise up again. He knew that's going to be the greatest mistake that Satan ever made was to crucify Jesus Christ. Okay, so he took that death upon him, then he overcame death. Now, halfway through that process, up on the cross, if Jesus Christ would have denied God, "Oh, you're not my Father, you're no good, ah!" They buried him and never rose up again. So when things come against us, we know that God's working on an antidote. "Okay, God, this is going to be on me if you didn't allow it. So I know you're going to bring me through. I know you want to use this for your glory, God. So I declare the heavens and earth are created by you. I'm created by you. You live in me. I honor you, I praise you," and God will take that as an antidote and will use you to touch other people. And that's the scary part. If He promised you that He'll take you from this shore, amen, let's go. It's that stupid storm in the middle that scares us to death, right? That's where we got to hold each other and say, "Come on, let me hold your hand. I know, come on, God's word's true. You know, we're going to bring you through this in the name of the Lord." We got to hold each other's hands at times because it's scary out there at times. You know what I'm saying? Life can be really scary. We got to hold each other's hands and say, "Come on, we'll get you through here. God promised this is the word of God to you." And keep you going to the other side. in verse 21. Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and called the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child life return to him." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is true." Look what God did here. Just about done. Look what he did. He took this lady and her child from poverty, death, all the way to brand new life. Woo! Look at that. Go back to when she got upset because her son died. God didn't cause that. Nope. So look what she did by being obedient to God. She allowed God into her house to bring her son back to life. If she had not been obedient to God, her son would have died. And that would have been it. God didn't cause it. The son was going to die anyway. And God gave her the opportunity to allow him into her life to do what God does best. And that is restore life into our bodies. So I ask you today, and God asks you today, where are you at? Are you in that creek bed right now, and it's dried up, and you're waiting for God to pick you up and move you? Well, He won't pick you up, but He'll give you His Word. As you follow His Word, when His Word becomes the light into your path, you start, okay, I'm going to sit here long enough, and you start walking with the Lord right then. The first step that Elijah took out of that creek bed, following the word of God, he might have been a few miles away from that widow lady, but now he's headed in the right direction. And he starts feeling better now. God speaks to him, "Okay, Elijah, keep on. Round the bend up here. Well, I don't see much yet, but come on, Elijah, keep following me." And look what happened. Whew! What's that?
She was right at the gate, beginning at the
lake. She was right at the gate, got things right in perspective. And look what she did. Brother Jim, today I don't know what's going to happen. The people we gave money to, Buck, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Some of them might go out today and get a sandwich with them. Some of them might get gas in the car with it. I don't know. Okay? I have no idea what they might do with that. But because of you being obedient, they can do something with that. Now, let's go back to this widow lady. If she refused to feed Elijah, boom, Elijah, man of God, he dies of starvation. And she dies. Done and over with. But because she contributed, according to the word of God, to Elijah, you know what happened next? You know what Elijah did? He went on to be a fantastic man of God. In fact, Elijah never dies. Yep. He was taken up to heaven in a chariot. What a testimony. But you know what happened later on? He got in a contest. I'll paraphrase this. He got in a contest with those who were worshiping Baal. There's 450 prophets that Jezebel had. And they were worshiping this false god. And back and forth, fighting back and forth. And Elijah, you know, he always worshiped God. Finally got into a contest. He said, "I'll tell you what we'll do. We're going to build an altar. Bring your ox and put on it." Elijah says this. "And whoever God sends fire to consume this offering will be God." Okay. So they build up, and Elijah goes, "I'll tell you what, I'll let you go first." So they got this altar built, got the ox on there, and these 450 men, false prophets, worshiping a false god. And folks, it's not just the Baal is just a false god. It can be men of who say they're men of God worshiping God in a false way. Okay? They start calling down, "Okay, Baal, burn up this offering." They start yelling, "Baal, oh God of Baal, come down, prove yourself, burn this up." On and on. The Bible says it goes on for hours and hours and hours. And Elijah says, "Well, yell a little louder, maybe he can't hear you." And they kept going. I mean, this went for hours. One time Elijah says, "Hey, maybe he had to go to the bathroom." It was written in the Bible. Making fun of them. Oh, they're just cutting themselves. All kind of stuff. Worshiping this God. "Come on. Come on, burn." Nothing. After 12 hours, nothing. Elijah turned. And I'm paraphrasing it. He has a servant run down and get water. And he dumps barrels and barrels of water during a drought, all this water, upon this altar. Now, it's bad enough to try to get dry wood. You ever have a drought and it's how quick things burn? Now, this is drenched in water. Basically, Elijah, everybody's watching him. I can see it now. What's going on? And he says, "Let Jehovah be God! Whoop! Boom! Burn up!" And 450 false prophets of God destroyed that day. He's able to do that and bring God glory because the little widow lady back around the corner there at one time fed him and shared with him during her greatest need. Boom. But you know what happened next? Jezebel, the king's wife, she got upset. I mean, he just called fire down from heaven. The creeks are dried up. This man of God, awesome man of God, next thing you know, this lady, this queen says, "I'll have his head. I'll kill Jezebel. I'll kill Elijah." And what Elijah did? He got scared to go running. Wow. Of all the things that God used for, now he's running from Jezebel. Hiding in a cave somewhere. So folks, I share that to you. Maybe last week you were on top of the will of God, you're walking hand in hand. But this week you got scared and you took off running from God. You didn't listen to him. Hey, you're not alone. We all have those moments that sometimes, boom, that we can get down real quick. Elijah thought he was the last man that believed in God. He was so depressed. And God showed him there were 7,000 more men believing in him. What Elijah did next, he got up and went back to God. In fact, he ran so fast, he outran King Ahab's chariot. The Bible says the hand of God went upon him, and he outran the chariot of the king to get past him, to get down to Jerusalem, Israel. And then later on, the Bible says Elijah was with God, and then he was no more. A chariot came and picked him up and took him to heaven. He has never died yet. Amen. Amen. So folks, our God is a God of love, caring. He just wants you to learn that during these times, and we know they're troublesome, trust in him, do as his words say, and let him be God in your life. Satan will try to tell you everything else to do because in your mind it don't make no sense. But God says not for us to work on our own understanding, but on him and on his word. But it all starts with the relationship of God through the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, actually today, do you have that relationship yet? Is Jesus Christ your Savior and Lord? Have you accepted the forgiveness of your sins that he already died for? Have you invited him into your life? Maybe you have and you fell away for a while. Get back up today. Say, "Lord, come. Come back in my life. Forgive me my sins. Allow him to be Lord of your life." We all want a Savior. We all want to be saved from hell. But we don't want a Lord. The Lord tells you what to do. Well, he has to be Lord of your life to be your Savior. If you're here today, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and boy, you're just, your palms are sweaty, your heart's going boom, 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 boom. You want that? I invite you down this altar this morning to come down and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. You know, God never wants to leave you where he found you. Our God is a God of greatness. Our God is a God that can overcome anything in your life. If you're here today and you're addicted to drugs or alcohol or anything that's going on in your life, he's here today to set you free. He's here today. You don't care how long you've been doing it. He don't care what's going on last night. He just knows today, and today is the day of salvation. He's a God of love. Satan is the one that come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Christ come to give us life and give us more abundantly. So if you're interested in him today, this altar is open to come down and surrender your life to him. I'll pray with you. And we'll just start a brand new life with the Lord. Allow him to do what he already has planned for you. You know that? Jeremiah 29:11 says he already knows the plans he has for you. And that's to prosper you and give you life and take care of you. And that's a pretty good God, is it not? Amen. If you have any questions this morning about the sermon, the message, please get with me. We'll sit down and we'll talk. I'll share and let the Word of God encourage you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. And God, we thank you for men like Elijah and the widow lady. We thank you that we can look at the scriptures and see people in the same positions that we are at times, and how you rescued them by allowing them to be obedient to you, Lord. So we just pray today that we'll allow your word to really raise up inside of us, that we'll be obedient to your word. And God, even though the things sometimes we don't quite understand, as Elijah probably, well, why don't you run the water in the creek? But you had a purpose, not just for Elijah, but also for the widow lady. So maybe we see that this week and all that we do. It's not just about us also, but others around us, God. So Lord, continue to use us. Continue, we seek you, forgiveness of our sins. And God, may you be glorified in all that we do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God is good. Amen. I give you a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you, and may he be gracious to you. May he turn his face toward you and grant you peace. And may you walk completely in the victory that Christ gave us at the cross. And may the blessing of Jehovah be upon you, your household, upon your children, and your children's children's children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.